First Peter chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not having your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word today. I ask for your strength and your direction as we go verse by verse through these wonderful sections, your wonderful scripture. Please that you'll guide and lead us today through this, that we know your way and will for our lives. Please, dear Lord, to just speak to every heart, those who do not know you as their Savior, that they'll hear the word today, be saved today. Those that know you, that this will be a growing time, a strengthening time, a time of wonderful fellowship with the family. Please, dear Lord, just touch every heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have been through many times through these sections of Scripture here, and as we look at the ninth verse, we find that these people, the nation of Israel, and we find ourselves in the same position because of our position in Jesus Christ as we're born again. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. A peculiar people in the means that we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been set free from sin and the opportunity to serve, to praise him, and to have his wisdom and knowledge. We are a peculiar people. Now, as being such a people, being such an honored people, we need to show forth our praise unto him. Our goal in our life, our thought, our time should be spent in showing praise to him, in honoring him, in glorifying him by our life, by our talk, by our walk. And this comes through a lifelong process of work and growing and changing and becoming more like the Lord Jesus. But this showing forth of praise, acknowledging what our Savior has done for us in our hearts, and what a wonderful opportunity we have. We have an opportunity for the first time to actually bear gifts to our Lord. Prior to this time, prior to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot give anything unto God, nor would we want to. Our whole attitude, our whole life changes. You know, maybe everything in our life isn't what we want it to be. But for the first time, we can bow down before our God and thank him and praise him for the salvation that he's given us. Thank him for the wisdom that he's given us. Thank him for the victories that we have and pray for those victories that we need today. All that comes because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What an honored people we are. What a blessed people we are as believers in Jesus Christ. We have the marvelous light as we look through this ninth verse, as we just go to review for a little bit. The marvelous light, a light that came into our life, a light that came from the Holy Spirit as he shone forth to us so that we can see the Lord Jesus Christ, a light that showed us our darkness, a light that showed us who we were and what we needed, and then not only showed us, you know, that's the problem with today with so many doctors and the psychiatrists, psychologists, things of that type. They have the ability to bring out of you what's wrong. But no matter what kind of medicine they give you or what kind of advice they give to you, it is not the advice that we need. It helps many times. I believe in doctors. I believe in taking the proper medicine that we're to take, all those things. But my friend, without the power of God and without His truth and His teaching, there will never be a complete victory. Because you see, the only thing that the doctors and the medicine and the advice from the doctors can do is cover up the real problem. The real problem is sin, and sin needs to be dealt with. And our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to give us that. So once again, we were shown the light, and we accepted the light. We didn't turn from it. Many people today are shown the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they see that light of a righteous God, they see themselves as being so filthy and so dirty and so ugly that they don't want to have anything to do with it. They would rather go back to the waller, back with the pigs, and stay in the mud and waller in the mud. That's what they want. Now, from time to time, we find ourselves in the mud. But it's not where we want to be. And so we have the strength and the power to come out of it and begin a wonderful walk. And so not only does marvelous light bring salvation, it shows us how to come to God, it guides us to Him, and then He guides us through living and through our life. That's what this marvelous life does, marvelous light. That's what it can do for each one of us. The 10th verse says, which in times past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, to have had mercy, the mercy of God. God is rich in mercy, as we look back in Ephesians 2:4 last week. We have received this great mercy. It is given to us. And the mercy is that word, the fullness of that word tells us that it comes to a person that is in great need. And we are in great need. We are dying. We are dying in our trespasses and sins. We need Jesus Christ. He brings mercy to us. He sees a need and He delivers. And He is able to deliver unto us everything that we need. Oh, what a wonderful gift God has given us, the mercy that He shows us. And so not only as the doctors can show us a need that we have, a problem that we have, they can show us the problem, but they just cover it. Because you see, everything comes as a result of our sin. Now, sometimes we need to continue with the medication and the medicine to keep us healthy. It's all because of sin. We're under the curse of sin. Our old body's deteriorating. But please, that you deal with the sin problem and then allow the wisdom of God to teach you each and every day. Now we come to the 11th verse. Dearly beloved, is brothers and sisters. I love those words. It's just, we need to come together, and you hear me refer many times to you folks as family, because you're my family. I'm your family, and anyone that has come by faith to Jesus Christ has become part of the family, and what a joy it is to come. Sometimes this is the only family that you have. And sometimes we have other family, but because they're not saved or they're away from the Lord, we have no fellowship with them. And so once again, we're the only family. We have to go out into the world, and there should be a difference between this family and our worldly family. Worldly families are kind of known to bicker and fight and argue and whether it's over the inheritance or whatever it might be that they're fighting over or feuding over. When we come together, we share in our inheritance. All of us have Jesus Christ as our Savior. All of us are going to go to heaven. And so we should have a goal then to help each other as brothers and sisters, to lift them up, to pick them up, and to help them through any trial or any tribulation that they may face. And so, and then the scripture goes on here because this is a help scripture. Dear beloved, brothers and sisters, I want to share with you something Peter is saying. I want you to understand something. I beseech you. I call to your attention. And I come to your aid, all at that same time there. I want you to see something, and I'm coming to help. That's what Peter's saying. And so, and then he goes on to say that, you know, sometimes part of the problem that we have as believers, we try to make our residence here. We try to make this our home. And when we do that, we're not going to be happy. Because we are sojourners, we're pilgrims, we're strangers to this land, we're traveling through. We don't belong here. We don't belong here. This is just a vapor, just so quickly. I was trying to think of an example that I had just heard the other day that it was with the form of a vapor. It was just there, it's gone, and their point was that's how long that we're going to be here on this earth in relationship to eternity. You know, we look at this world and this earth as everything, and we try to snatch up as much of this world to keep us happy as we can, only to find out that the things of this world don't make us happy. The only thing that brings joy to a person's heart, any person's heart, the only possibility of joy that they have is to know Jesus as their Savior and begin that wonderful walk day by day, growing, listening, letting Him teach us, change us. Beautiful day, strengthening us every day. What a joy it is, what an honor it is, what a privilege it is to be a Christian, to be born again. Understand that we're strange. We don't belong here. And if we don't belong here, and this old world is a cursed world, and we're going to have to abstain from these things, we're going to have to stay away from them. You know, there's two words in here that I spoke of last week, abstain and obtain. And if you have been around me very long, I will probably reverse those words and use them in the wrong place because I'm always misreading something with my, it's just my mind. Yeah, my mind's going, Jim. It's just going. And so I hope that I keep this straight. I have it straight in my mind. It's just that from my mind to my mouth, there becomes confusion from time to time. To abstain, to hold oneself from evil, the practices of the world, the things of the world. We need to separate ourselves from those. The scripture, dear beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. These natural desires. We have an example, and I've given it to you before, and that's with Solomon. You know, Solomon had this empire. You know, David made it magnificent. Solomon increased it. Solomon built a mansion. Solomon was the wisest, richest man that has ever lived, that's ever been. And yet he began to add wives to his household. And as he continued to do that, he began to try to please them. Well, most of these wives came from other lands. And so in them coming from other lands, why, then they would want to worship the God of their land. Well, Solomon was responsible for building the temple. Solomon's responsible for offering thousands of animals to dedicate this temple. And yet we find here that he begins to try to please his wives. And so he says, yeah, I won't hurt to go on Sunday night to this other church. That's what he did. That's what he did. You know, it doesn't hurt to visit around a little bit. It doesn't hurt to hear and to see what other people are doing. You see, Solomon was very wise. But it probably gained him an ability to reason things out more so than the most common people would. I know my God. I serve my God. I have my church. I serve my church. It's not going to hurt me to go on Sunday night or Wednesday night over this other place and just see what the hell. It's not going to affect me. That's what we do, and that's what we say. It doesn't have to be just another church. It could be I'm going to go do something else on Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to bother me. Well, it will bother you. It will affect you. How can it be the same when you choose not to be in the house of God to hear the Word of God and you choose to do anything else? How could that not affect us as a believer desiring to be like Jesus? How can that not affect us? I guarantee it's going to affect you. It's going to affect you. If you're running around with friends or with family instead of coming to church, why aren't they at church? So, we're back to they're not going to be that good of influence on you, are they? See, that's what Solomon did. Solomon didn't think he'd have a problem with it. He was the smartest man, richest man in the world. And yet, it was his downfall when he did that. It was his destruction when he did that. And so you see, we need to abstain from fleshly lusts, move from evil, which war against the soul. Which war against the soul. Now this warring against the soul, why do we have a war? You know, people are lied to all the time. They are told when you come by faith to Jesus Christ that your worries are going to be over, your battles are going to be over, everything is just going to be wonderful. Many a preacher has preached that. Well, that preacher's a liar. Because the day you get saved is the day the war begins. And why does it say war against the soul? Because, my friend, your soul has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been set free. You're on your way to heaven. You're on your way to serving a living God. And anything that's contrary to the will of God will cause a war in your heart. Will cause a battle. And so there's battles going on all the time. Every one of us have a battle. Every one of us. I guess I'd just be pleased if it was just one battle. How many battles can be going on? You know, in our country, you hear that, you know, if this one gets into office as president, he's going to bring all the soldiers back and that war will be over. And, you know, if you would think about it, every land, every country, every war we have ever fought, we are still there. We have never left a one. Why do they think that today this one single place is going to be different? You see, there is going to be wars and rumors of war until Jesus comes the second time. He comes and plants his feet. They're going to be here. Well, we can understand when somebody picks up a gun or blows up a building or does something like that. But my friend, the worst war that's on, the worst battles that are on, our battles are going on in our heart, in our lives, every day. And I'm going to tell you, it's just like we are still in every land, every country, still at war. So will the battle go until the day that you take your last breath. Don't think when you get victory over this that there's not something else awaiting. It just kind of is taken front and center right now. And once it goes, then there's going to be something else that God's going to show you that we need to take care of. And what you'll find, and that's the reason that God gives us mercy, He gives us, and we're going to look at a list here of who we should be back in Philippians in just a few minutes. Because when we have this war going on, it destroys the liberty. It destroys the peace. It destroys the comfort that God wants to give us. When that liberty is gone, when this war is raging, it just puts us out of commission. Well, my friend, there may be a war going on, but the battle has been won. The victory has won. Sin has been destroyed. And for the first time, we have a strength given to us from God to have that victory for the first time. Only when you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul here tells us he's aware of this war. He's going to speak clearly, come back tonight in Romans, because that's where I can never quote that. You know, I do what I'm not supposed to do. I don't do what I'm supposed to do. I love that verse of Scripture. And we're going to get to that tonight. It's the 14th verse, the 15th verse, if I remember right, of Romans chapter 7. And so Paul, the Apostle Paul is the greatest of apostles, the greatest of preachers. And yet he clearly and specifically says, you know, what I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, that's what I do. And he goes through about four times, you know, back and forth through those wonderful words. And it's a war that's going on through his soul, in his soul, is what causes that tribulation, what causes that indecision, what causes those bad decisions is because of this war that's going on. Well, Peter just says here, he says, my friend, my brother, my sister, this isn't home. This isn't home. We're just traveling through. We're stacked all our stuff in our Winnebago, and we're just on our way. And so we just need to understand that don't try to put roots here. Keep those wheels a-turning. Because we're just traveling through. And if we do that, then we'll find that these things that become important and things that sideline us and things that war at our souls, we're more able to discern and to move on. Because the love of this world and the things of this world are the things that cause most believers, all believers, to stumble and fall from time to time. Peter says we need to have a good conversation. We need to be different from the world. I've known some folks in times past that when they confessed to get saved, their language didn't change. And their language was terrible. And for years and years. But I always prayed for them. Because you see, just because God gave me the victory of that very quickly after I was saved doesn't mean that that isn't something that's the weakness of that individual. And it just, he fought and he fought and he fought and he died with it. And he missed many blessings through the years because the victory, for whatever reason, never came. But it was so sad because you could be talking about the Lord Jesus and his saving power, and in the next word of his mouth, he cursed the Lord. And, you know, and we say, how could he do that? Well, again, when you're pointing that one finger, watch out for those that are heading back your way, because we have just as many things in our own life that we're fighting with and dealing with to give the victory. You know, to have this good conversation, to have a speech and an action that the world looks upon in kind of awe, kind of amazement. Somebody we're different, we're a peculiar people. We have been set free from our sin. We have been given a power to do what's right, a power for victory. And so we have some verses of Scripture over here in Philippians chapter 4 that I'd like for you to turn to. We're going to read those verses of Scripture because this kind of gives a testimony. It says, having your conversation honest. It just gives us a little report here of what we need to do. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with verse 4 and read down through the ninth verse. It says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We have some instructions there. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. That's what makes the difference. What do we think on? What do we think on? What's our mind occupied with? It is with all the things of this world, or do we enjoy the things of this world, but they don't control us? They don't control our lives. They're for our blessings. They're for us to use and enjoy. You know, some teach that you're not to have anything. You know, that's not true at all. God created it all. It's for our use and for our joy. But let's look at these words just a minute here. It says rejoice. You know, we're to be happy. We're to have joy in our hearts each day. This word moderation in the fifth verse is to be patient and gentle and kind. Take thought for one another. You know, if you'll notice each one of these words that we go through here, they are all directed towards somebody else. They're all directed to somebody else. We're to rejoice. When we rejoice, we get the blessings of that, but so do everyone else that's around us. This moderation, these patience, you know, that we have, the caring, the gentleness, the thought. I want to stop long enough to listen to what you need. Let's listen. You know, if you ever, you know, watch somebody, and you know people, all of us do, and I do it, I don't listen. And when I don't listen, it's not because I'm quiet. It's because I've got something to say. And what I have to say is more important than what you have to say. Or at least that's my opinion. So as soon as you quit talking, I go right back to talking. Now, if I do that, there's something serious here that happens. It's not that my point may be good. My point might be necessary. But what I missed was I didn't listen to you. I didn't listen to what you had to say. I was too busy thinking about my next point, the next words that were coming out of my mouth, and I didn't listen. This patience here, this moderation, the patience, the gentleness, the carefulness, the listening. This sixth verse here, be careful for nothing. That's kind of a different term there. Be careful for nothing. Don't be over anxious. Don't be over anxious. Our wanter gets in a hurry sometimes, doesn't it? I want what I want. And when do we want it? Now. Yesterday. Yeah, that's when you're really anxious, is when you when you've moved beyond now to yesterday. Good old preacher summed this section up here, this fourth verse up, with some very, sixth verse up with some very good words. Worry about nothing. Be content. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. Worry about nothing. Don't spend time worrying about it. Just put it to prayer. Immediately put it to prayer. Something happens or something is about to happen, God protect me. God help me. But we're of the worldly school. What happens if this goes on? What happens if this happens? That's what we do. And what's that do when that happens? It's immediate. It's immediate. Your joy's gone. The second that you put worry into your mind, the joy's gone. You're consumed. You're thinking about something else. Your joy is missing. The seventh verse here is peace. It's peace that is spoken. The peace of God. He's the only one that can give us quiet rest. He's the only one. And so look to Him. And then the eighth verse is full. Whatsoever things are true of a truth, things that are honest. We're looking at something that's very honorable and yet grave, the Scripture kind of tells us there. And the next word is just. And, you know, we look at those things that are holy and right, pure, those things that are perfect and clean, lovely, those things that are lovely. This is back to being friendly, caring, be acceptable as we look at those words. A good report is to be well spoken of. Now think on these things, the Scripture says, and it also says, do them in the ninth verse. And so once again, when we set our mind and our heart on things that are pleasing unto God, the things of the world will go by the wayside. They will be much less important to us if we seek our eyes and our heart to doing the things of God. Now we look back at this 12th verse in the second chapter. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that were as they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, and the day of visitation is a day that we need to look at, because that day is the day that someone is coming to knock, the Spirit of God is coming to knock on someone's heart's door. Has our testimony been good for the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God can reach into that heart and save them? What have we done, family members, friends, business acquaintances, whatever it might be, what have we done that when the day that someone shares the gospel or something in that person's life happens that is so important, so serious, that the Spirit of God can come and knock on that heart's door? And we don't know when it is. It could be today. It could be next month, next year. Come and knock on that heart's door. Is our presence a blessing to God or a curse to God by them knowing us as believers? I've heard for years, you know, well, I can't, you know, nobody's saved around me. I talk to them, but nobody's saved. Jeremiah preached and preached and preached, and to our record, no one was ever saved. And so you're in pretty good company, but is it because of me is the reason they're not saved? Is it something we've done or something we've said? See that our testimony is true. This 13th and 14th verse gets into our government and rule of the government, and we will begin with that next time, next week. But we need to understand just very simply and caringly with all the ears to listen to what God says. We need to speak clearly. We need to understand the mercy that we've received. When we look at this 13th verse, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to the governor that carries out the rules. Look, if you would please, this week, read Daniel chapter 1, and that will get us through. I want you to see what Daniel did. And so when you begin with Daniel, you're just going to get a little start there with Jehoiakim, as he decided to keep the tax money from Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar went over then and destroyed the Jerusalem and took all of Judah home to Jerusalem. That's how Daniel got over there. And so in the process of doing that, you think about that. Because a king did something incorrectly, they paid, the people paid their taxes. The king kept it. He was kind of appointed from Pharaoh over in Egypt. And so he kind of went the other direction with the money. He says, we're no longer going to give the money to Nebuchadnezzar, and he's so far away, who's going to care? He cared. He came. He took. And he took all the people back. What kind of mood would you be in if our president would sell us out and all of a sudden some great nation come and took us captive? Every one of us lost our homes, lost our businesses, lost every possession we had, and we were taken like a herd of cattle across rough land for hundreds of miles and taken captive and left there to die. What kind of mood would you be in that day? I'd hate the president. I'd be angry at the world. Have every reason to be angry with the world. But let's look at what Daniel did. Daniel continued to serve his God, and God certainly blessed him. So no matter what happens to us, serve your God. Praise him. Honor him. No matter what goes on in your life, he'll give you the victory. Maybe in a different place, a different spot that you can even imagine, but God will bless you and use you. We'll begin there next time. Father, please, that you would guide and lead each person today here, young and old alike, that they hear your words. We have looked at the great opportunities and the blessings that come to believers. And Father, please help each one of us to understand that it is a lifelong work. We get a new heart right away. Now, old flesh. The old flesh loves the world. The Spirit of God that lives within our heart loves and serves God. So there's a war. There's a battle that goes on. Help us to make the right choice each day, dear Lord. Help us to praise you and honor you. Help us to not worry about anything, but just turn it to you and give it to you that you'll guide and lead us. Dear Father, those that are here that do not know you as their Savior have never experienced the joy, have never experienced the peace, nor will they ever until they come by faith to you. So please today, touch their heart. And I hope our witness here today is a witness that will help and not hinder in bringing those that are lost to you. Now please, guide and lead each one of us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.